Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, that's page 28. How come this page never has a number?
Microsoft Word
will not put a number.
Is it there.
They just refuse to put a number.
For some reason.
I see.
The header's missing too, as well.
Okay, chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender. Pratigya. When a devotee is in danger, he sees that danger to be the great mercy of the Lord, because it is an opportunity to think of the Lord very sincerely, with undiverted attention. Right? Because of the difficulty that's there, then we can easily take shelter of the Lord. So that's the advantage for the devotee. Right? It means if we're looking at it from not so devotional a platform, then we would not necessarily appreciate this point. You know, because why should I have to be so absorbed in the Lord? Right? You know, so that's the difficulty, right? It should be that everything's really great, and if I want, I can remember the Lord. Right? Now we got it. Okay. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the third chapter, the Lord, satisfied with Gajendra's prayers, lifts him from the water, kills the crocodile with his chakra, and in that way delivers both of them. In this chapter, the prayers of Gajendra, the king of the elephants, are described. It appears that the king of the elephants was formerly a human being known as Indradumna, and they learned a prayer to the Supreme Lord. Fortunately, he remembered that prayer and began to chant it to himself. First, he offered his respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because of this, his awkward position in having been attacked by the crocodile, he expressed his inability to recite prayers nicely. Nonetheless, he tried to chant the mantra and expressed himself in appropriate words as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes, the original person from whom everything has emanated. He is the root cause of this cosmic manifestation, and the entire cosmos rests in him. Yet he is transcendental, for he does everything in relation to the material world through his external energy. He is eternally situated in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan, where he engages in his eternal pastimes. The material world is a product of his external energy or material energy, which works under his direction. It is thus that creation, maintenance, and annihilation take place. Right. So, his connection means all this is going on because of his dealing with his internal potency that's transformed into the external energy. So he's always transcendental. He's never in touch with these things. Right? That's his position. So that's how it goes on. Right? The Lord exists at all times. This is extremely difficult for a non-devotee to understand. Although the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead is perceivable by everyone, only the pure devotees perceive his presence and activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely free from material birth, death, old age, and disease. Indeed, if anyone in this material world takes shelter of him, he also becomes situated in that transcendental position. Right? So, only the devotee can understand the Lord because he's only recognizing the Lord as a person. Right? Because if you recognize him as Brahman or Paramatma, he'll reciprocate on that platform only. Because that's how you're dealing with him. So when you deal with him as a person, he reciprocates as a person. That's why only the devotee knows him as a person. Others cannot know him. Right? Does that make sense? So then, The devotee, because he absorbs himself in that position of the Lord, the transcendental position of the Lord, therefore he's transcendental. Because he's absorbed in the Lord, he attains the same position as the Lord. Right? Just like if you think about the material energy, then you attain the same position as the material energy. So, you know, it works out quite nicely. So, seeing that we're really well practiced at one, all we have to do is shift our practice, and then we'll be very successful in the other. Right? For the satisfaction of the devotee, Paritranaya Sadhunam, Bhagavad Gita 4.8, the Lord appears and exhibits his activities. His appearance, disappearance, and other pastimes are not at all material. One who knows this secret can enter the kingdom of God. In the Lord, all opposing elements are adjusted. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. He is the controller of everything. He is the witness of all activities. So So if you know his past, so that therefore, if you know the position of the Lord is transcendental, you become transcendental. But if you understand his pastimes are transcendental, then you can enter into his spiritual pastimes. Does that make sense? So the point is, he reciprocates on that point that you interact with him. So we've been given the highest, just remember Krishna, in his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So we don't think of these other levels. But the point is from whatever position one's in, how one deals with the Lord, that's where he reciprocates. The difficulty is that we might think, oh, I'm remembering the Lord, I'm dealing with the Lord, and then one will stay at a lower level. That's why then Lord Chaitanya and the Acharyas make it very clear that, no, it's about hearing about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. Right? That's the actual position. Because understanding is Paramatma and Brahman, those are aspects of Bhagavan. But if one doesn't understand it that way, one might be satisfied with a lower level and get stuck there. So all opposing elements are adjusted. So whatever seems to be contradictory in the Lord, they're not. Because much of the time we work on logic that, oh, that's contradictory, so it can't be transcendental. But that's the whole point is, no, that's why it is transcendental. Where the contradictions reconcile, that's transcendental. Where the contradictions don't reconcile, that's the material world. So that's why Prabhupada makes the point. The only solution to material problems is spiritual. Because only the spirit, because what's a problem? Where two opposing elements are not reconciling. So how can you do that? We say, oh, get down, talk, be nice, be wonderful, have a cup of tea, you know, whatever it is. But the point is until we bring in the spiritual, that's the only place you can reconcile the two. So there is no material solution to material problems. It just doesn't exist. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if because of the spiritual platform, things are reconciled there, means that here, then that's on the lowest platform. It's not going to work. No one's going to take that. Right there, everything, if there's a problem, remember Krishna. It's always about Krishna. So here, that will be the lowest. So we'll consider it much more, that's sentimental and all that. Well, intellectual is no playing around with everything. You know, the existence and that, you know, being existential, right? Like that. But there, it's about rasa with the Lord. So that's the higher platform. So there, personal is the highest, Brahman is the lowest. Here, Brahman's the highest, personal is the lowest. Does that make sense? That's just how people see things materially. So reconciliation can only happen because of the spiritual. There isn't any other solution. We may think, oh, we'll manage it, we'll get money, we'll get facility, we'll get this, and you'll see, you'll get them, and it won't happen. Now the problem comes is that we follow the Vedic, those things come a little quicker, then quicker we understand it didn't solve the problem. If we don't follow the Vedic, then we don't necessarily get the results, or they come really slow, so we don't get enough exposure to actually make that decision or that understanding. Because we're always trying to get, oh, if we had that, we'd be okay. But in the Vedic, they have that, and they know it's not okay. Like I've generally seen is, at least you see in the past, you'd have these families that follow nicely the Vedic culture. and they have really good relationships, the interaction, everything is really, really nice. What would be, you know, you'd say ideal as far as, you know, a grihastha situation goes. They're the ones that can most easily understand that material world is not a good place. And the ones that don't have that, they're the ones that have faith. No, if I make some more arrangements, then I will be okay. Does this make sense? Right. So that's the important thing. That's why the Vedic culture is there. That's another aspect. It actually provides what you're looking for, and in providing it, then you can see this doesn't actually solve the problem. Yeah. So that's the whole point. That's what Grihastha Ashram is for. Grihastha Ashram is for exposing yourself to all the facilities and that's supposed to make us happy in the material world, and then figuring out it doesn't. You know? So after 20, 30 years, generally one comes to that conclusion, and then vanaprastha, it's that, you know, so the only thing that'll make you happy is devotional service. So therefore then, as vanaprastha, as husband and wife, they engage in devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole idea. Yeah. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. He is a controller of everything. He is the witness of all activities, and He is the original source of all living entities. Indeed, all living entities are parts of Him. For He is the origin of Mahavishnu, who is the source of the living entities within this material world. Right? So He is then, how you say, the living entities are coming from Mahavishnu, but He's the source of Mahavishnu. So that means whatever is there in the creation, means the living entities themselves, whatever situations they're in, that's all coming from the Lord. So that's the position. Everything's the Lord, so everything being the Lord, then the idea is then how to see the Lord in everything. How to be absorbed. Right? Then we're not separate from the Lord. The Lord can observe the activities of our senses, which can work and achieve material results because of His mercy. Although He is the original source of everything, He is untouched by any of His byproducts. In this way, He is like a gold mine, which is the source of gold in ornaments, and yet is different from the ornaments themselves. So He's there because He sees, through His mercy, we can see. Right? And then, if we're interested in seeing connected to Him, then we actually are able to see in that way, by His mercy. The Lord is worshipped by the method prescribed in the Pancharatras. He is the source of our knowledge, and He can give us liberation. So we have to use Pancharatra, right? Political correctness will not get you sadhana. You have sadhana siddha, there's no political correct siddha, right? Like that. You'd probably do better off with Alu Siddha. You know? Like that. You'll get more out of it. Okay. Therefore, it is our duty to understand Him according to the instructions of devotees, in particular the spiritual master. Although for us the mode of goodness is covered, by following the instructions of saintly persons and the spiritual master, we can be freed from material clutches, right? So that's how you know. The instructions of the spiritual master, they're in line with the instructions of the saintly persons, which are in line with the saintly persons before them. And that goes back for us to Rupa Goswami, which is then coming from Lord Chaitanya. Right? So that's how we're going to perceive. Right? But because the line also goes back all the way to Lord Brahma, Lakshmi like this, then also any of the other acharyas, their comments that we see within Bhagavatam and that, then they have they're also relevant. Though, when you're dealing with the Chintabheda-Veda-Tattva, it does include all the others. Now they've got a bell on their neck. Okay. No, this is a different one. So that's a third one. Okay. Because the cat's coming, so now they're all freaked out. Okay. Now back to the cat went, so now they're back to, now they're all happy. Okay. Okay. Yes. The self falls. Yes. So then, by following that line, then you're going to become free from material clutches. That's the only method. We speculate, it won't work. Right? Speculation has to be used within the context of the instructions and how to apply them. Right? The self-effulgent material form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is adored by non-devotees. Material form, okay. This impersonal form is adored by those... His impersonal form is adored by those advanced in spiritual knowledge. His feature as the localized supersoul is appreciated by yogis. But his original form as a person is understood only by devotees. That's so, in other words, he's pointing out that every living entity is attracted by the Lord. It's just which feature of the Lord. Right? So the material manifestation that we see around us, that's what the materialist is interested in. The non-devotees. The impersonalist, the Brahman, the devotees, they understand. The yogis, Paramatma, and the devotees, Bhagavan. Okay. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is competent to dissipate the darkness of the conditioned soul through his instructions in Bhagavad Gita. He is the ocean of transcendental qualities and can be understood only by liberated persons freed from the bodily concept of life. Right? So he mentions Bhagavad Gita. This is Indudumna. That is from the Satya Yuga, so we can understand Gita's always been there. No? He is the ocean of transcendental qualities and can be understood only by liberated persons freed from the bodily concept of life. By his causeless mercy, the Lord can rescue the conditioned soul from the material clutches and enable him to return home back to Godhead, to become his personal associate. Nonetheless, a pure devotee does not aspire to go back to Godhead. He's simply satisfied with executing his service in this material world. A pure devotee does not ask anything from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His only prayer is to be freed from the material conception of life and to be engaged in the Lord's transcendental loving service. If you're freed from the material conception, you're not in the material world. So the point is the problem with the material world is the perception of it being material. Otherwise, as a place, it's just another place. It may not be a great place, but it's a place. In this way, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, offered prayers directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without mistaking him for one of the demigods. None of the demigods came to see him, not even Brahma or Shiva. Rather, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, seated on Garuda, personally appeared before him. Gajendra, by lifting his trunk, offered respect obeisances to the Lord, and the Lord immediately pulled him from the water along with the crocodile who had captured his leg. Then the Lord killed the crocodile and thus rescued Gajendra. Shloka Anusharana. Summary of verses 1-29. Gajendra's prayers 30-33. The Lord saves both Gajendra and the crocodile. Verses 1-29. Gajendra's prayers. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thereafter, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind in his heart with perfect intelligence and chanted mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as Indudumna and which he remembered by the grace of Krishna. The king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, Vasudev, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because of him, this material body acts due to the presence of spirit, Chit Atmakam, and he is therefore the root cause of everyone. He is worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva, and he has entered the heart of every living being. Let me meditate upon him. Srila Prabhupada comments. In this word, the words etach, chid atmakam are very important. The material body certainly consists only of material elements, but when one awakens to Krishna conscious understanding, the body is no longer material but spiritual. The material body is meant for sense enjoyment, whereas the spiritual body engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee who engages in the service of the Supreme Lord and who constantly thinks of him should never be considered to have a material body. It is therefore enjoined, Gurushu Naramati, one who should stop thinking of the spiritual master as an ordinary human being with a material body. Archye Vishnau Shiladhi, everyone knows that the deity in the temple is made of stone, But to think that the deity is merely stone is an offense. Similarly, to think that the body of the spiritual master consists of material ingredients is offensive. Atheists think that devotees foolishly worship a stone statue as God and an ordinary man as guru. The fact is, however, that by the grace of Krishna's omnipotence, the so-called stone statue of the deity is directly the supreme personality of Godhead, and the body of the spiritual master is directly spiritual. Right? So it's not a matter of whether we understand it or not. This is a matter of revelation. It means the shastra, those who are transcendental, they understand it. So if we don't understand it, that means then we haven't properly taken shelter yet. We haven't properly surrendered. Because what we're seeing with this mundane vision means then there's still some impurity. So if we continue in the devotional process, then gradually that will go away. But we understand it's not that, oh, well, okay, yeah, that's for, you know, Prabhupada, yeah, but anybody else, no. So this is not the method of thinking. We can't think like that. Because the point is it mentions that the devotee, the material body certainly consists of only material elements, but when one awakens to Krishna conscious understanding, the body is no longer material but spiritual. That means anybody can come to this platform. So otherwise, if we can come to this platform but the spiritual master can't, then that's like the Maya bodies. Right? They can be Brahman, but the deity can't. So therefore they won't worship the deity, won't come and take darshan of the deity and that, because they consider they're the same. So they don't mind walking around everywhere else. Does that make sense? Yes.
Can you please clarify one devotee once made that the pure devotee, it's mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, doesn't sleep. He only closes his eyes and dreams of Krishna, something along those lines.
Yes.
And they made the argument that because sleep is in the mode of ignorance, a personality like Srila Prabhupada never really slept, and it's offensive to think that he slept because he was simply absorbed at that time.
Yeah, I mean, because you can say like that as far as tattva, but the point is as far as the activity goes, you will count it like sleep, because if he's absorbed in Krishna, does that mean now you can, you know, down in the living room, you know, watch your horror movie on full blast and, you know, stuff like that, or, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that therefore all the considerations you would make for sleep, you know, making the bed nice, keeping away mosquitoes, keeping it quiet, keeping things dark, you know, all the different things, whatever would be favorable, and then for your particular time and all that, you would deal with it as it's sleep. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if someone says, what's happening, no problem about sleeping, then that would be the standard.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It appears someone reset the mattress.
You have to turn back a page.
Yes.
At which point of this 8 stages of bhakti does one realize that Krishna is non-different from his detailed form and the guru is...
But when you say 8...
Yeah, I mean from Shara to Prema.
Okay, so you're not counting prema. You're not counting prema then. Okay. Basically, that can happen from shraddha. So it's just a matter of how much shraddha is there. So the idea is what's happening when the process is moving forward from shraddha. Let's say you'd say you have one unit of shraddha, like that. So when you move to sadhu sangha, it's one unit of sadhu sangha, but two units of shraddha. Right? Then when you move to bhajana kriya, then you have one unit of bhajana kriya, two of sadhu sangha, and three of shraddha. So in other words, as you go, the previous one should be increasing. So if when you take a bhajana kriya, you deal less with the devotees, then you're not going to move forward. Right? In other words, you're advanced, but you don't have faith in devotees, so you're not advanced. Like that. You may be more mature in your thought process, but as far as faith goes, it's not. It's Prabhupada mentions that prema is mature faith. So it's the shraddha, it's the faith that's increasing. Does that make sense? So the whole point is when that faith is there, then one sees. Yeah?
And the devotee who doesn't sleep Is it possible to understand that the deity is non-different from Krishna if we don't worship the deity?
But how are we not worshiping the deity?
I mean, we're just having our personal deity or being.
No, but why is that? Why is only that considered worship of the deity?
Due to the personal relationship, which one is developing through that worship.
Okay, but that may be there, but how in the going to, let's say, Mangalartik, seeing Radha Madhava, how that's not worship and how we're not developing a relationship?
No, that's also worship.
I would kind of take it the other way. That's worship, and if you're doing it home, that's also worship. Because if you're living here and you have deities, they're an expansion of Radha Madhava. You understand? That's how it works, you know. Unless you're deity, you were living somewhere else, and so their expansion of those deities, there, you know, that's another. But the point is, the home deities are always an expansion of the main temple deity. That's how Pancharatra works. Yes.
The doubt may be that if we do go to Mangalarti, because we are not the pujaris, that to the point, so it's optional for us. We can go. We can.
Well, but optional based on what? Pujari has to be there just because it'll be very obvious he's not there. Yeah, but the point is what we're missing is here is who's sitting in the heart.
Everybody. I mean, Radha
Madhava. Everybody, my temple president sitting in the heart. That explains why he knows everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Meditate on the spiritual master in every day we chant Nikunja Yuna, etc.
Yes. Yes.
But it appears that for us it's rather Prayojana than Abhideya.
Whatever is the position, the point is we're doing the activities recommended by the spiritual master and the parampara. That means then we're taking part in the Lord's pastimes. Right? We may not fully understand that, but that's what's happening. So then we're assisting in those pastimes. Because that's where it gets back to. Because originally, what is there? For us, if we're worried about that Braj of Vrindavan, and then from there, everything's expanded, so anything expanded that we're dealing with will go back to there. Therefore, then those prayers work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because Lord Chaitanya, he's coming performing a Samkirtan pastime, so what is he absorbed in? Right? So he being Radha and Krishna and absorbed in those pastimes, then our assisting him means that being absorbed in those pastimes. Right? So that's why we have to understand it in its broadest sense. Because otherwise if we say, well, unless the spiritual master is personally there in the pastimes itself, you know, on the platform of prema, you know, as a minimum, then, you know, he's a schmutz. Like that. So then that's a problem.
But this seems to be...
That's the neophyte mentality. Neophytes think like that. Because it's neophytes, it's all or nothing. There's nothing in between. So when Srila Prabhupada, then quoting from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then defines the aspects when he's discussing Shravana Dasa, Varna Dasa, and Smarana Dasa of Bhava Bhakti, then he talks about a Shravana Dasa month when we hear about Krishna. Varna Dasa, when we try to apply those teachings into our life and adjust with, you know, the position of being a devotee. Smarana Dasa, we try to remember the Lord and that what we're doing is for the Lord. That applies to somebody, you know, anybody who's just contacted devotional service. So Shraddha on up. Because then the principle is that Bhava Bhakti is what extends down into through the nine parts. So you have prema, and then before that's bhava. So that's the eighth position. So that eighth position, it extends down through the other seven. So therefore, the taste you get in Shraddha is actually bhava. But we don't call it bhava because you don't have, you know, you're not rolling on the ground and all those kind of things. And it's not consistent. So, but what's consistent is someone gets faith. You come here from the devotees, it makes sense, you get faith, you're thinking about that, whatever you do. You're going to work, you're at home, you're thinking about how, yes, what those devotees said, that makes sense. I like that. So that's faith. So that aspect of bhava is there. So for those on the platform of what we say only on that platform, then we can respect, they see it goes all the way down to Shraddha. So then the problem comes is whose view will we take? That of the great personalities, or that will make up our own? So the conventional will mean, yeah, unless he's on that platform, then, you know, he's a bozo. You know, but from the platform of those who are transcendental, they see it that the connection to the Lord is, it makes it work. Does that make sense? So it's a whole different concept. You can see it on that lower level, but then the whole point is it is a social, economic level. Do they worship not? How much respect? This and that. It's all calculations on the social and economic platform. But if you're looking at the other platform, then you just see the transcendental position. Because the point is, Krishna is the guru, and he comes to you through the parampara. That's actually what's happening. We're contacting Krishna. We're getting it through this person. So that person represents Krishna. We may like the person or not, think they're a great person or not, but in Krishna's mind, that's not the point. It's how do you respect him in that person? If you do, then you advance. You don't. Because the point is the spiritual mat is Krishna, so if you don't respect, then you don't move forward. Because Krishna comes, because he's not going to come directly, because we won't deal with him properly. Right? We'll deal with him as material energy, just as we're dealing with the spiritual master as material energy. So that's why Krishna doesn't come like that. And if you want to see him in that way, yes, he will appear that way. Because he is whatever there is in the world. And so it's just a matter of how we see him is how he reciprocates. So as we see these great self-realized souls, they see Paramatma in everything, in every atom, between every atom, and everything that functions. So they're always seeing the Lord. They're always with the Lord. And so even though they're looking at something we'd call mundane, the Lord is, they're seeing the spiritual act because of Krishna, that he's there and the potency in him and why it would be there, you know, it depends on the level of realization. That he reciprocates on that level. Because as we see, is that we take it, okay, well, that's just something that's talked about, but that's actually the vision of those on the Uttama platform. And Krishna gives this to the gopis. That's where we see it, you know, in its really detailed form. And so that way, while they're at home making cow dung patties, cooking for family members, sweeping the house, they're just absorbed in Krishna. Because they see everything's connected to him. We hear that, oh, well, that's just Brahman, or that's just Jnana and all that. Yeah, that's because that's all the more that we see the Lord. But they're seeing everything as Krishna. You know, the movement of the broom, how it sweeps, it moves the dirt, it cleans, it just, its movement, it's Krishna. And they remember how Krishna moves. Like that. So they're totally absorbed in Krishna by this same philosophy. So the whole point is that comes down, and then that individual, now how much benefit they're getting from their position as that individual, that's one thing. But how much benefit you can get, that's another thing. So if we identify the spiritual master on that kind of more material platform, that he's a Kanista Adhikari, then how much he realizes, that's how much we can get. But if we simply see him as a representative of the Lord, then we, in our dealing, will be getting more. Does that make sense? It doesn't have to be. The point is in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, Who's his guru who tells him to go to the forest to find the Supreme? His mother. But it's because of his application of that, he takes his mother back to Godhead. So that's the whole thing. It's a very unique process. So if anybody's using it properly, it benefits everybody else. So if the spiritual master is more advanced, he takes the disciple. If the disciple is more advanced, he'll take the guru.
Win-win?
Yeah, so it works.
He had an additional word about it.
Yes, that's there. But by following that, but so he following those instructions and doing that, but the point is his mother was the Vartma Pradarshak. So because he went back to Godhead, he took his Vartma Pradarshak guru with him. You know? But those instructions, we have Prabhupada's instructions and the Acharyas. So as with a founder Acharya, the instructions are the instructions of the Acharya. Then the present, those who are present, the preachers, then they give us what Prabhupada says, relevant instruction. So how to take what Prabhupada gives and make it relevant for our life. So as long as we understand it's Prabhupada's instructions and everything. So this thing of doubting it and trying to change it and going against it, well, actually doesn't mean this. That's not progressive at all. It won't get anyone any benefit. Otherwise, it's what was, who was that? Dr. Radhakrishna? You know, it's that the senses and that. So therefore, there's five horses. Like that. You know, it specifically says there's four horses, but there's five horses. He does with five. And then one of our artists painted with five horses, and I think Prabhupada asked about that. You know, it just looks nice. It's symmetrical. The one and four, one is this way, and the other two are leaning off like this. You know, he's an artist, you know. They got to, you know, make it happen, right? So then...
five Pandavas.
Yeah, the five Pandavas, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, what is it? Who's it? Had five arrows, right? Is it Karna? You know, like this. So those interpretations are useless. It has to be what Prabhupada says, then how that applies in our life. That's then what we're trying to do. And so that will be different from, as I point out, the Varnashram systems, each individual, that can be differently applied. It doesn't mean that you're going against the system or anything. It just means that you're applying it into the particular situation you're in. Because my situation is individual, the application is individual. But it still has to connect in body, mind, and words to the Lord. And if there's not, there's to be a weakness. So that those are fundaments. But exactly what I'm offering, you know, today I'm offering this, tomorrow I'm offering that, the next day neighbor is offering something else. But the point is that you're offering it in a pure state and pure consciousness for Krishna's satisfaction. That remains. That's universal. You can't change that. So in dealing with the secondary, if you make the primary secondary, then you'll fail. You have to know what's primary, what's secondary. Then you can adjust things. But it's not that adjustment, now that becomes the standard. No, what the Acharyas say is the standard. So the spiritual master, then he represents the Acharyas. And then with that, that's the position. And so then, whatever their realization, they're actually on the spiritual platform. So in dealing with them, we have to deal with them on that spiritual platform, and then we'll get that spiritual benefit. Does that make sense? So there's more at work here than what we understand. See, basically what we're doing is that what I understand, that's what's working. No, but there's more working before that. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, when you were speaking about the deity, based upon our realization, we perceive based on our degree of sincerity and advancement. Can you say the same in terms of when we're reading Shastra, if we don't have, even if we don't understand it, we have faith that it's true, then Krishna will reveal how it's true, because that's how it works.
Yeah, it means same with the deity. If you understand it's Krishna, but you don't understand how, it will work. The point is the position of the Shastra, of the Guru, of Krishna, the deity, the name, is not dependent upon our realization. They are who they are. Right? Now, our realization, we get benefit. You understand? But that revelation is coming from the Lord. It's not that because I see the deity as non-different than they are and the karmis don't, so they're not. No, that's just how you reciprocate. It is Krishna. Otherwise, if it's not Krishna, why is there offense? If the name is simply depending upon my realization, when I'm not realizing the name and I'm not being attentive, why would it be an offense? Because it's not Krishna. It's only when I'm really focused, then it's Krishna. And when I'm not focused, it's not Krishna. So where's the offense? So the offense is because it is Krishna and you're not paying attention. So the deity is Krishna and we're not dealing properly. Therefore, then seva aparad. You understand? Vaishnavas are who they are. We're not dealing properly. Therefore, offense. Does that make sense? Because it's a common thing is because we've grown up with people, we've seen people. Then suddenly now shakshadhari, then they just have bad digestion. That's all. Innocent. That's the point. We see like that. Or it's an activity. If I was doing that, then this is what it would mean. But actually, no. We have to see it from a different platform.
You know, so we'll get the revelation according to our sincerity, but the
yes.
Lord is still the Lord.
Yeah, the Lord's the Lord. Just that when you install the deity, He's there. I mean, He's there even if you don't install the deity. It's just that when you install the deity, then you're making a pledge that now we will worship you with it, you know, properly with the 64 items on a daily basis according to the rules. Right? That's what deity installation means. So there's no such thing as an uninstalled deity. Very popular in our society. But, you know, I would float if we want to have uninstalled deities, and that's just a standard in the Grihastha community. Hey, why don't we have uninstalled wives? You know, I mean, everybody would love that, you know, like that. You know, so when you want, yeah, hey, then you go out to dinner, and when you don't want, hey, it's not there.
That's
know?
Called different, man.
Huh? That's
not called a wife. There's a name for that.
But so is uninstalled deities called deities? That's what I'm saying. Is that, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or you just keep her in the closet. When you like, you pull her out. You know? We don't want to get technical. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, you know. You could have, you know, uninstalled kids, you know. Kids somebody keeps all the kids, and then whenever you like, you know, oh, I'd like, you know, two kids, you know, like this and that for dinner tonight, you know. Then, you know, then the problem comes is the wife you wanted to get's not available because someone else already booked, and then one of the kids you can get, but the other kid you can't get, and, you know, so it's like, you know, it's a trip. Yeah. You understand? So that's why we don't play around with this stuff. Because when we put it out of that, we know it's like, you know, this is stupid. This is, you know, we're laughing. But then when we say, deity's uninstalled, no, no, this is serious. That's the same thing. For those who know Pancharatra, it's just as much of a joke. So that's the whole thing. So one has to understand the system. Yeah. Sorry? Yeah, Prana Pratishtha is the installation. Well, people have deities, they just pick them up. That's what that's why Loi Bazaar still exists. Because people just pick up deities and take them home. And then when they want, they worship. When they don't worship. And if you ask them why, oh, they're not installed. Right? You know, like that, yeah. You know, just like, you know, just like ladies, they really like it that, you know, when you like, you take care of them. When you don't take care of them. And then they say, why aren't you taking care? Oh, well, we're not married. It's not installed, you know, so I don't have to take care. Right? Ladies love that, right?
Yeah.
You understand? It doesn't work. So if it doesn't work, why would it work for the Lord? You know, like that. So the point is there's such a thing as temporarily installed deities. Yes, there's that. But that means they're in their box, they're sleeping. Then when you get them out, then full worship is there. Like there's this. Now I think they travel permanently with the Sankirtan party. There was a pair of Gorni Thai deities that stayed in the trunk in Prabhupada's room. and was probably there until about maybe 10 years ago or something, that whenever there was a festival, then Prabhupada, like Kumbh Mela, they would take them there. When they took them out of the trunk, then second initiated devotees doing all the things, all the artiks, offerings and everything. Kumbh Mela is over, they go back in the trunk, and then no more worship. That's temporarily installed. So when you're dealing with the deity. And then they sleep. But this idea is that, no, they'll not be sleeping, and just whenever I'd like, I'll interact and all that, and, you know. That's introduced by us, not by Srila Prabhupada. Right? You know, like the guy, he expects the girl will always be dressed up, but whether he'll pay attention or not, it's up to him. Right? Girls dress up, you pay attention, they dress up. You don't pay attention, they don't dress up. Right? So, is it illusion or not to think that, you know, whenever I want, then relationship's there? So that's why then the form for that, there is a deity form for that, and that's called a picture. Right? So in other words, you have to know what deity goes with what facility. So if sometimes I can worship but I have to go out traveling or that, then you have pictures. So when you have your deities, then either someone stays back and worships or you take them with you. So it's just you choose what you want. You know, as Mataji mentioned, you know, you want permanent means you're going to go traveling, you take the wife with you or leave all the facilities, but if it's just now and again, whenever you like, you invite them over and all that, it's a different kind of lady. So it's a different kind of deity. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we good on all this?
Just one question. The only kujari in your home, and then you'll get sick, and then you just can't really.
But the question comes is, basically, it means there's, okay, how to work that out. But because we're discussing the fundaments here, is why do you have deities in the first place? Because you have to think, am I going to be able to worship these deities for the rest of my life, and at the end of my life, what's going to happen to them? So in all situations, is am I going to be able to worship? So should I have deities? Because the tradition is, okay, the family has a deity, but it's a family deity. So there's people in the family. And so then the father's worshiping, and then his son will take over, and like this, then the deities get handed down. You understand? That's the whole idea. But so we have to see is how it'll be taken care of. And in families, you know, the traditional family, they're big. You know, but if so we take it on, it's not that it's any different. You're taking it, so then why do we have deities? Because are we bathing them every day? If we're not, why have a deity? That's the speciality of the archer. You can bathe them. Right? If it's a matter of just seeing them and offering prayers and offering, you know, prasad and what service we can, pictures are perfect. The only thing you can't do with the picture is bathe. So that means, wipe? Yeah, wipe. Get out your spray, squeegee. Take it down to the car wash. Then the gopis can wash it. Okay, so then sorry. So then that's only in summer. So then, therefore, if you're not planning on bathing and dressing the deity every day, why would you have an archa as the deity? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. Why would you do that? Because devotees think, unless it's an archa, it's not a deity, and pictures aren't deities. But then, is that educated or not? Is that mature or not? Do they understand Pancharatra or not? No, Prabhupada is very careful about deities. Who had deities and this and that. You know, before it was only second initiated devotees who were in mature standing and were not in a place where a temple was. They couldn't attend the temple program. Only then they could have deities. But if they were brahmacharis and sannyasis, he still didn't recommend it for them. You understand? We're the one that's made Loy Bazaar rich. Because when Prabhupada was here, there was I think there were two Didi Wallas. Like that. Now there's so many. Like that. Before, they used to really put in the time, effort, you know, because it was a serious commitment. I was one day asking. I saw the Didi guy brought out the original mold made by his, I think, grandfather. And the detail is so much. And I said, why aren't your Didis like that? He says, because from what I sell now to that is 3 weeks more work, which means labor. No one wants to pay the money. They want the Didi for cheap. So then, you know, but before the detail, there was, you know, the ankles, the, you know, fingers, the nails, you know, nowadays it's just kind of got square things at the end, you know. Before, it was just very in the way they curve, and they get into all that detail. And he said that's 3 weeks. That was for, you know, a medium Didi. A bigger Didi is more. Because they have to actually carve it. They have chisels and they carve. So it's a slow process. You understand? So the whole point comes down is that why do we have arches if we're not going to bathe and dress them every day? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know? And okay, if you can't dress the main deities, but is the Shaligram being bathed every day? You know, they say like that. So there are systems, but they're authorized systems. You don't make it up. But otherwise, for most, it's like maybe they get, you know, what is it? You bathe and dress them on a codice? Isn't that the popular day? You know?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But who made that up? Devotees, that's called Laukiki? Laukiki. Just means common people make it up. That's not made up by the system. The minimum is 16 items are offered to the deity. That's just standard. That's just standard. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given a very simple padati how you can do that. But it includes all 16, the proper mood, the proper, you know, prayers and everything like that. You can do it very, very quickly. Prabhupada expected the temple worship would take you 20 minutes. The home worship should be easily, you know, that or less. Because that's all it takes. We complicate it, make it all this and that, stand up on our head when we do Achman, and then that's real Achman. You know? You know? I remember some devotees saying, you know, it was in L.A., says, I was explaining to them, when you go into the bathroom, if you wear what clothes you wear into the bathroom are contaminated. So you have to wear different clothes to go on the altar. Right? You don't have to take a bath. You have to change the clothes. No, but we have a high standard here. We take a bath every time we go in the bathroom. He says, but that's not the standard. Nobody does that. No, but we have that because we have a high standard. It's like we're L.A. It's kind of, but who made it up? You understand? So that's the thing, is that we make up our own system. And then we get bewildered by it. But the point is, how are you? Do you have friends? Why aren't the friends worshiping? Or this or that? You know? If nothing else, okay, you sit there and do it in your mind. You know? But these things should be worked out beforehand. Right? You know what I'm saying? That's the process.
Right? Too late now.
Yeah, too late now. But the problem is every day, there's a too late now. Every day. Go to Loy Bazaar, every day they're selling deities. You understand? So that's the whole point. I could talk this till I go blue in the face and say, oh yeah, okay, nice. But then someone else says, yeah, you only have to do it on a codicil, then bang, law. That's the problem. We don't accept authority. It's just, we want, so therefore what is in line with what we want, then I accept that. And what we don't want, then I'm not going to adjust to that. So that's the point. That's why I don't talk to devotees about home worship. Because for me, home worship is a whole different concept. So... Okay, so the idea is that we have to see that the deities, the spiritual master, the scriptures, you know, the holy name, these are all non-different from the Lord. And if we see that, then we'll develop nicely. So, if we see the deities, whether they're in the temple at home, as non-different from Krishna, we understand the holy name is non-different, we understand the spiritual master, whatever his position is non-different, then we'll advance nicely. And if we don't see like that, then our advancement will be slow. Right? Does that make sense? Or we may have faith in one area, so that area will go quicker. Another area where we don't have faith, that'll go slower. And hopefully the one will influence the other and like this. But the point is we should look at it so any area that's weak, that we should be trying to see that the weakness is not there. Does that make sense? So that's the bottom line. So that means anybody can advance nicely because anybody can see the spiritual master, the holy name, the spirit, the deity as the Lord. Whatever your position. Does that make sense? So, yeah. So despite what we said about home worship and all that, you see properly, you get the benefit. You don't see properly, then you don't see properly at home and you don't see at the temple. So it's two strikes. Right? Yeah. So better in that case, only one. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.